I made an earlier recording, but something weird happened with the headset, so I dropped it. But now I'm back, and we're doing this again. I'm going to take a little pause to make sure that the filter's working. And it is, so we're good. I continue to ponder about some of my ironic thoughts. The time of the Gentile and the time of the Jew. And I'm thinking that part of this may very well be, everybody thinks that it's about missionary work. Oh, we're going to stop doing missionary work to the Gentiles. And you go, oh, no. It says, they won't be our focus. I find that the way we conduct ourselves in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to be very Gentile and to cater almost to the point of pandering to the Gentile way of presenting this. Almost all of Christianity is a vague offshoot of some Jewish practices. And I don't think that they were very, how do you say it, very central practices. The synagogue was primarily a place of prayer. Now, when the temples went away, this was Judaism change. And to a large extent, I guess what Judaism changed into, which was more synagogue-based, was adopted somewhat by Christianity. Sacred buildings became the primary and communal focus of devotion. Well, that's where the devotion started to be focused. It was on community. Now everything has continued down that path. A good indicator of this is the splinter group, the Community of Christ, which basically said, it's all about communities. Basically, kind of a community with Jesus sprinkles on top, which has become what most religious devotion is. You can't have religious devotion anywhere but in this place, you know. When you want to go pray and talk to God, you have to go to a church, sit in a pew, kneel perhaps, and do these things. Come on, man, Pastor. Thank you. It's about time. I hate being tailgated on country roads. Sorry, my friend. So, and that a time of Jews may very well just be our devotions looking far more Jewish, more home-based. That a community flavor is not what Christ intended at all, or is not what the Torah or God or whatever, however you want to look at it, how that was envisioned. A lot in the Torah talked about the stranger in your gate. You know, how you treat those among you who are not of you. and that you will always be a minority. There will be rare situations where you're ever going to feel like you're in the majority, because when you're in the majority, strange things happen. Tower of Babel is a wonderful example of strange things happening when people congregate too much. Socialism is too communal. Socialism and godlessness came together. Because as you depended on your neighbor, as you shared more of your things, you lost your reliance on God. It started to become the kind of thing where you have to build up institutions to religious institutions to try to battle against communal institutions. Most governments are about communal institutions. God would love for him to be your religion. Not a religion to be your religion. That doesn't sound right. For him to be your devotion, not a religion to be your devotion. And that probably we need to move from communitarian meeting house ward-based devotions to family and individual and temple-based devotions. Wherever you were, you would take the opportunity, you would travel to the temple, make your covenants, your oblations, whatever you want to call them there, and then go back home. Now, you know, there's certain things that you do. The garment is supposed to be a constant reminder of your devotion to the covenants with God that you have made. I find the whole idea of the ward family to be repugnant. I don't like it. Of course, people fight hard for it because they go, well, the family that I came from doesn't like me being a Latter-day Saint. We go, that's fine, because we all come from families that didn't do very well, that struggled, and that our individual devotion to a large extent is a mix of our parents, likely, and what we think, how we perceive, what we do. That home-based really is the way to do it. And that's how we change from the age of the Gentile to the age of the Jew. Is that very home-centered. This is the way our home is. We already struggle bad enough. The church does not compete. The reduction of church activity, church things going on, is to a large extent in conflict with home, marriage, family, in time and attention. when if anything should be getting in the way of these things, it is apostles, Christ himself, study of Scripture, discussion-based thing, although better than just saying, and this is what you should believe because you're a Latter-day Saint. And the exalting of amazing groups that you should talk amongst your family. You should most especially pray and talk to God to enlighten you, to lead you to where you need to be. That each individual person is connected to their families, to Christ, in ways that are meaningful. And not just rote, what should I be doing? Anyway, that's my take on it. I don't know exactly how far to take this. Like I was saying, I was listening to Sister Browning this morning, and she at one point she hearkened to the extra scriptural I don't know if to call it euphemism. The Christ, everything Christ did, he did because he loved us. Which I don't recall there being a lot of thoughts on that subject in Scripture. Now you can say, well, that's just the way we look at it now. Better, more informed, whatever. And it's like, I am hard pressed. I put everything through the 150 year filter to try and understand, to try to get a more grounded perspective. You can set whatever time you want to in the past and decide what, you know, are things still relevant to those people? If they're not relevant to those people, maybe we're off on some weird cultural fad as opposed to truth. Now, when I read Scripture, now you have to understand, Scripture has been filtered through different ways of speaking, different ways of talking. When Jesus gave these concepts, he wasn't speaking in English. He was using a different language. And they're translated into English by several modalities. I don't want to speak against love, but I have a tendency to, just because it's slathered on everything, and it justifies everything. And I don't think that must necessarily be so. Our devotion to God is, I think that's a better word to use. You can hearken back easily to the Jews and to the Tanakh, the Torah, to help us understand what these things mean. We started calling it the Golden Rule. I don't think that's a bad way at all of viewing like the second great commandment, which Jesus wasn't giving new commandments. The only new commandment that he gave was that we should love one another. And I think that has to do with how we treat each other. The whole Jewish, it's not Jewish, but the idea for an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, stuff like that, kind of the whole concept of if somebody does you wrong, you're justified in doing, in returning the same to them. And Jesus' new thing to it was, no, if people treat you badly, you should treat them well. The old law was somewhat legalistic. Compensations, all sorts of things like that. And the new law was to be, don't look at that. It's almost a question of fairness. When people talk about fairness, I just go, eh. And I said, you know, people don't have to treat you wonderfully for you to be kindly back to them. You just be kindly. And this constitutes that new law. I don't know if people get confused about love God and love your neighbor being new as well. And it's like, no, they're not new. This is Christ even said that way. He says, upon these are the law and the prophets. He was just condensing everything down to the two things that people were supposed to do. Their relationship with God, which is devotion, and their relationship with their neighbor, which is don't treat them bad. Treat them good. Treat them the way you would like to be treated. Like I said, the golden rule is why I translate that into. And that the new law, which is love one another, is, you know, not to take people to court. It's kind of a golden rule plus be a kindly person. Now, we never talk about marriage relations. That was very early. That's in the Torah. And it is cleaving to one another. That doesn't come up a lot because it's not terribly, not terribly interesting. Christianity de-emphasizes marriage. It's almost like it's some kind of weird antique holdover that we're finally getting rid of because don't we enjoy not having to deal with another person? Don't we enjoy not having children or having children singly, accidentally, and throwing all of our love and devotion on children where it shouldn't be? But regardless, that's what we often have to deal with. This whole larger thought of what do we do with these things. So maybe that's the change. You know, like I said, people get weird and think it's all about missionary work and who we're trying to go out and spread the gospel to. You know, as far as I know, we just, we're just supposed to do it for everybody. But I think it probably has far more to do with how we do our devotions. And is it basically done in a building, which is kind of a devolution of temples, a place where God resides. And I hear too much of local meeting houses, local Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints meeting houses, as being, you know, and people use temple terminology about it. Things of that nature. And I don't know if being so Last Supper oriented, which is really a Moroni thing, we don't hear about the sacrament outside of Moroni. It's not there. We don't hear stories in the Book of Mormon. Heck, we don't hear stories in the New Testament where this was anything more than something akin to the Passover observance and how often it needed to be done wasn't a feature of even the early Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The weekly sacrament of the Lord's Supper is somewhat mixed in with the Lord's Day, doing non-work on the Lord's Day. And it's funny because the vast majority of church work is chewed up by, most Sundays, the Lord's Day, are chewed up by church work. Gotta go to meetings. Gotta go to the meeting this morning and this morning and that morning and this morning and that morning. And meetings before church starts and meetings that follow afterwards. Things like this and stuff. And it's mostly community things that have little to do with the Lord's Day. And it really is. I'm sure they sit there and they worry about this stuff at times. That Sundays are somehow some kind of weird weird thing. The conferences should be that we tend to do them on weekends, and you go, what a horrible idea. The general conference should be on other things, on other days, and they take precedence over other things. We don't have the sacrament when we have general conference of a general conference weekend. It makes one think, how would you do it differently? Would you do it differently? The way it's done now, that the bulk of it isn't so much a communal gathering, but it's something that you can view on a screen. And the meeting houses are not as needed for these things. These used to be, because it used to be quite difficult and expensive to transmit these things in useful ways. To have them written, they were always written, but everybody felt there was just so much more to being packed. I remember when they used to do it in the old tabernacle. And it was, we don't call it old, the tabernacle. But it was, man. You were shoved in there like freaking, I don't know what you call them, sardines. I've had cans of sardines. They don't seem very packed. But yeah, you're crushed in there to try to get as many people in as you can. And many people could never go and be a part of that, or part as many people as they wanted to go. There was tickets. Tickets were usually given to the church leadership, bishops, stake presidents, things like that. And then some of the rest were reserved and only handed out to those who, you know, people who had never been, people who are new. Hello? You too, thank you. Anyway, so, and I don't know how relevant that is anymore. I am not a big fan of culturalisms particularly. That's a hard thing to sell to other people, because it's usually not a huge problem that there is cultural aspects to these things. Sadly, a lot of people's devotions to God are somewhat cultural. I don't want to go to church because that person's there. That person and me have had a feud, and we don't talk to each other, and we don't like each other. And I'm going to go to a ward where this person isn't, or I'm going to find a ward that fits me better. And you go, I don't understand what that really means. Anyway, so I'm at my destination. It's a Friday, which means most of these guys aren't really doing anything. But I've got things to do. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.